coming to you live from my apartment. It's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who's been podcasting for 10 years and one day. I am Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Rob Has a Podcast. We are back here in the studio after a very long day Wednesday, getting out to Busby's East here in Los Angeles for our 10-year anniversary party, Survivor 40 premiere party. And it was a wild night. It really was. I was not prepared for just how a wild night it turned out to be with so many survivors. I don't even know how many survivors were in the building and all of the fans. We watched the show starting on we watched the East Coast feed. We had our RHAP 10-year anniversary special, which was about 30 minutes or so. Had a bunch of people come up on stage and talk with us. You can watch that for free over on our Patreon page. I uploaded that this morning. robhasawebsite.com/patron if you want to check that out. And then after the West Coast edition of Survivor, we talked with 15 people. I have no idea how many survivors we talked with on our live show. It was rowdy. It was raucous. It was a lot going on. It was a wild ride on the live know-it-alls last night. But let me just say that it was, again, one heck of a party that we had there, everybody. I understand it was not the cleanest live show that we ever done. I got that note a lot today. You are not wrong if you sent it to me. But that being said, that was, you know, it's only your 10-year anniversary once, and that's what last night was. We're going to get into some strategic talk today back here in the studio. We're very lucky to have Tina Wesson here with us to talk about everything. Really excited to talk with Tina. I've got a lot to ask her about. First, why she's not on this season, and second, what does she think about all the people that she knows, and much more with the great Tina Wesson here today. Earlier this week, it's been a crazy week here on the podcast. I was out at the Survivor premiere party. I've got red carpet interviews with a bunch of the different players, including my conversation with Jeff Probst, where he says that maybe after the season, not maybe, he said after the season, we won't see the edge of extinction for a while. That's all up on our YouTube channel. And then if you want to listen to one other podcast about the 10-year anniversary of Rob's Podcast, you can listen to a 3.5-hour retrospective that I did. You can go to robhasawebsite.com/RHAP10 for that. I want to take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast before we get Tina on the line. Those are our friends over at Brooklinen. I love Brooklinen. Love getting to talk about Brooklinen. Of course, that Brooklinen is the internet's favorite sheets. Brooklinen's got over 50,000 five-star reviews and counting. And as I've talked about before, I love the Brooklinen sheets that we have at my house. I did not get to spend nearly enough time in those Brooklinen sheets here tonight, really just running on adrenaline after a late night last night. But Brooklinen was the first direct-to-consumer bedding company, which means that they work directly with manufacturers and directly with customers with no middle people, which means it's just a great product and a great service. It's luxury products without the luxury of markup. You like softness? You like comfort? Essentials to help you relax. Brooklinen has it all. Brooklinen.com is the perfect place to hit refresh in the new year. Go on, make yourself comfortable. Brooklinen is so confident in their product that all their sheets, comforters, loungewear, and towels come with a lifetime warranty. Get 10% off your first order and free shipping on all the new sheets when you use promo code Rob only at Brooklinen.com. That's BROOKLINEN.com. Brooklinen, everything you need to live your most comfortable life, or as I like to say, no sleep till Brooklinen. All right, everybody, I'm so excited for our first guest of the new Survivor season to talk with us about everything that's going on in Winners at War. First, it's a travesty of justice that we're not watching her on the Winners at War season. Please welcome in the winner of Survivor Australia, or Survivor the Australian Outback, I should say, the great Tina Wesson. Tina, how are you?
Woo! Hey, Rob.
Tina.
How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Wonderful, Mr. 10-year anniversary podcast man.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Tina. I appreciate that.
That's impressive.
It's been an exciting week, and made even more exciting by the chance to catch up with my old friend today.
I am so happy that you asked me to do it. I'm honored.
Okay, well, I am very excited that we get a chance to talk, because I know that so many of us were expecting you to be a person that was going to be part of this season when we heard about that. Okay, they're going to bring 20 people back, and okay, what a no-brainer to have Tina. And I think so many of us are wondering, did they get a hold of you and talk to you about it, or did they just go in a different direction?
I know. Okay, so here's the dealio. First of all, you said that you're sad to be talking to me instead of watching me.
Imagine how sad you are to be talking to me.
Oh my gosh, you have no idea. It's so crazy because I've always said that you have to have a thick skin to be associated with kind of this franchise. Because, and I'm sure you've been told this many, many times before, It doesn't happen like a lot of people think it happens. You know, like I think on one of Jeff's interview, he was talking about Sandra. Mm-hmm. And he was like, yeah, you know, we called her up and we love Sandra because like I call Sandra up and before I can even get out of my mouth what we're doing, she says, I'm in. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, really? You call Sandra? Because Jeff's never called me. Mm-hmm. I've never gotten a call from Jeff Probst.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
So really how it happens or how it's happened to me every time I've been asked about playing is I get a phone call from casting and they say, we're just checking in with you, wanting to see whether or not you would still be up for playing. And I, of course, said yes. And they said that they were considering three different options for season 40.
Yeah.
And that if I would be interested in playing, that I would be considered for one of those options. And I'm like, yeah, of course. And so then every time we hang up the phone and I wait and I wait and I wait and they don't call. And then I get all nervous and can't hardly stand it anymore. So I call them and say, you haven't called me. What's the deal?
Right.
And they say, we still haven't decided yet. We'll let you know. And I say, okay. And then they finally call me back and give me a thumbs up or a thumbs down.
Yeah.
So whenever, and I just automatically assumed that one of the options was an all winter season. You know, everybody's always talked about it. And so they called me back and said that, well, they wouldn't need me this season. So I'm like, okay. And I just thought, well, they're not doing an all winter season then. They're doing something else. And so then a little bit later, whenever it comes out that they are doing an all seasons show, oh, my heart was broken. Just absolutely broken. And it's funny because I don't know how you felt, but after I play, I need about a year and sometimes two to kind of get over it, you know, to heal physically and emotionally from the experience. You know, the people who play back-to-back seasons, you know, hats off to them because I don't know how they do it.
Yeah.
But, you know, after that year, then I'm ready to go back and play again.
Yeah.
And so after I won the first season, after about a year, I was like, oh, man, you know, I don't know how long Survivor's going to be on, but maybe it will be on long enough that one day they would have 16 players to go back and do an all winter season.
Right.
And never knowing that it would, you know, be 20 years later. And I've always just dreamed and wanted more than anything to go back for an all winter season. So, yes, I'm extremely disappointed. And, of course, CBS never, ever, ever gives you a reason behind anything. There's no explanations. So I don't know why. I don't know why I wasn't chosen, but I wasn't. So,
yeah,
I just take my cookies and go home.
But Tina, I think it's really crazy, too, because that back when you first played in Survivor, the Australian Outback, you were an alternate, right?
Yes.
And it doesn't even seem like that we've heard a name of somebody. Like, if one of these people, for whatever reason, at the last minute couldn't go, I don't know what they were going to do. It seems like that they should at least have had, you know, somebody else on speed dial to be, maybe that they were going to, like, if somebody was out, like, call you the day before and say, hey, we're leaving.
Yeah, well, it would not have been me. I know they didn't ask me to be an alternate, so yeah. I don't know.
So
if they had somebody else or not.
Yeah. Did you know in Australia that you, and I'm sure it's like the process might be a lot different now than it was then, but do they tell you you're an alternate and if somebody is, ends up dropping out, then we'll bring you in?
They did not. They just told me that they had decided to go, you know, because it's, you're in a genre. And of course, my genre was that soccer mom. And there was another girl from the Midwest. And they said they had decided to go with her. So that's all I knew. And it was funny because, of course, I was disappointed. And my husband was like, oh, they'll call you back. And I'm like, honey, why would they call and tell me that I didn't make it to call me back and tell me that they did? And he said, don't worry, they'll call you back. And sure enough, in about, oh gosh, I don't know, I guess it was about 4 or 5 days, they called me back and said that that girl had some reservations about skydiving because we were supposed to skydive in Australia. And she had told production, she goes, well, let me think about it. And Mark Burnett said, I don't want anybody who has to think about it. Call Tina. And that's how I got on.
Right. And very fortuitous because they didn't even end up doing the skydiving. So that was a very lucky break.
I know. No, and actually, some of the people did go through their skydiving classes.
Yeah. Did you take the skydiving class before you had gone out there?
No, nope. I went skydiving after.
Yeah, you are a thrill seeker like that.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah,
that is true. I want to do everything once, at one time at least.
Yeah. Well, Tina, I want to talk about what we saw on the 2-hour premiere of these Winners at War, which is good, not as good as it could have been with Tina out there. But there's a few different things that I want to talk about. I guess let me talk about that somebody who you were on 2 different seasons with, even though you did not get to be on the beach with her in the All-Stars. That was my job to play with Rob and Amber in the All-Stars. But Amber ends up being voted out of the game. And I think that this is really interesting because I think I read this, that I think Amber is the same age now that you were when you played the first time in the Australian Outback. And so we didn't really, so far, I mean, she goes to the Edge of Extinction, but we didn't really get to see much from this third version of Amber.
That is true. She's 40. And that's exactly how old I was when I went out. So that is true.
Yeah.
And actually, I thought maybe that was actually why that they didn't have me, because the closest person to my age, because I'll be 60 this year, is, oh, come on,
Denise.
Tina. Denise. Denise.
Yes.
Yeah, she's 48. So she's, 7 years younger than me. Oh, wait a minute, 58. How old is Denise?
I think she's in her maybe late 40s.
Yeah, she's 48.
Yeah.
Right? So 58, 10, 11. So she is 10, 11, 12 years younger than me. But everybody else is, 20 to 30 years younger than me. So it's like maybe they just didn't. They knew this was going to be a really physical season and maybe they didn't want older. I mean, Mm-hmm. I don't know, Rob. Maybe that's it. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know, but yeah, you were able to hold your own. I know it wasn't the edge of extinction, but you were able to hold your own on Redemption Island, Tina.
Yeah, how about that? Yeah, mm-hmm. I don't have any, I stay physical in my everyday life. I'm not buff like Denise, my Lord. Mm-hmm. You know, she is such an animal. There's just some incredible physical people out there this season. Yeah. So, you know, I could have definitely beat Sandra in any challenge, mm-hmm. but you know, there, it would have been hard physically to go out and compete against anybody on like one-on-one challenges.
Yeah. So getting back to Amber, were you surprised that we didn't see maybe a little bit more fight from Amber in terms of when it was looking like the target was going to be on her? Or do you feel like that she ended up playing that correctly, where that if the more you really try to, you know, fight tooth and nail, the more they're going to come after you?
Oh boy, this question's going to come back to bite me in the butt, and I'm trying so hard. It's been a long time since Amber has played, mm-hmm. and she's such a sweet, sweet person that there's some of us playing the game that, you know, we just don't have it. We don't have that killer eat or be eaten instinct. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like even now, it's really hard for me to play that new school type of survivor.
Yeah.
But I think that, you know, Amber's just a sweet girl. And I don't think that, you know, up against all these really tough, tough players, that she is made of what they're made of. Mm-hmm. And so I just think, you know, she's just too nice, really.
Yeah. I could see that. And I hear, you know, what you're saying, because I don't think it's a negative thing to say that somebody is, you know, a nice person. I think that that's what sort of like attracted Survivor to her in the first place, of like that she was sort of like the girl next door that they cast to be on in, you know, Survivor, the Australian Outback. And I think that when she came back in the All-Stars, it was definitely somebody who was underestimated. But yeah, I think that, you know, Rob is like the really, you know, cutthroat member of, you know, that twosome. And I think that she's more of the good cop in that scenario. And it didn't seem like that she came out and was, you know, playing really hard from the jump, which you would think that under normal circumstances, if she's not married to Boston Rob, is going to be something that's going to be an effective strategy for her in this game. If she's not married to Rob, who else is coming for her?
That's true. And it's, you know, and it's not that the people who play really hard aren't nice people. They're nice people too. It's just that they have learned how to separate the game right from reality, you know, and it's hard for some of us to do that.
Yes.
And you know, I think that maybe also Amber thought that Tyson would, you know, would take her under his wing and mm-hmm. she'd be a little bit protected there. And that maybe because of her connection with Rob, that people might actually want to play with her, mm-hmm. you know, just because of her status. So I don't know. It is interesting. I don't know why they voted. If they really are trying to break up that poker alliance.
Yeah.
That why would they have voted Amber instead yes. of Tyson?
Yeah.
So, Tyson by far is the bigger target. Why would they do Amber instead of him?
Yeah. So that's a really good point. And I was thinking about this today as I was like thinking back to that tribal council from last night's episode. And I come back to where they showed us so much about how Sandra was so upset with Rob about how that Rob and Amber had been on the edge of extinction, or the Island of the Idols, for 36 days together. And I think Sandra had been, you know, very upfront with Rob about coming back. And then he said that he was not coming back and Amber wasn't coming back. And then there they were out there in this season of the game. And I think that maybe it came down to that they were talking about, OK, who do we do Amber? Do we do Kim? Do we do Tyson? And I suspect that Sandra must have said no. It's Amber. I'm so angry with Rob and Amber that it has to be Amber.
Okay. Well, if that is true, that just goes to show you the power of these top-notch players. You know, the people who are the people they should be gunning for. It goes to show you the influence and the power. Like, why does Sandra get to have the say-so of who it is? And it amazes me that, you know, Tyson, Sandra, Rob, Poverty, that they're still in the game. Mm-hmm. You know, just like Rob said last night, you know, to Poverty, you know, we're the biggest targets, and yet we feel so safe right now. What's going on? You know?
Yeah.
It's so crazy.
Yeah, it really was wild that I loved that conversation that Rob and Parvati were having. It seems like that a lot of people are kind of scared and they were not really wanting to, you know, upset the apple cart. And, you know, you heard Danny say Rob's name in the episode. And then once it got back to him, he said, hey. Are you saying you're gonna vote for me? I'm like, oh no, I can't. I was joking. I said everybody's name. So yeah, it seems like that's a good move. I didn't know what you should do. Just you know, tell the person that you'll be in trouble if you said that you were gonna vote for me.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I'm afraid of Rob, even if I'm not playing the game. So
yeah.
You know, he comes with a level of intimidation that is just, I don't know. I mean, and if I see him at an event or something, I'm like scared to say hi to him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can see that. I can see that. I think that maybe he might be a little standoffish. I think that he has like a tough exterior. And, I've also, you know, seen him, you know, be, you know, very like, you know, jovial and can really joke around. But I do think that maybe he doesn't want, you know, anybody just coming up and approaching him. I could see that.
All right. Well, we'll go with that then. I haven't seen quite the jovial side.
Yeah, it comes out. It comes out. Tina, I want to ask you about Ethan also, who was somebody that I feel like that you've been friends with for a very long time, that he came back. Yeah. You guys were, of course, on Saboga together in the All-Stars. How excited were you to see Ethan get another shot to play?
Okay, I'm going to tell you how excited I am. So in trying to put some perspective in this season, you know, because I watched every single episode of Survivor, and I'm a big fan, of course. And in trying to figure out for myself how important is all of this, I thought, well, okay, let's say that you got asked to play. But then they called and said, well, you know, we'd really like to have Ethan on. But in order to have him, we have to use your spot.
Yeah.
In order to let Ethan. He is the one and only person that I've ever known to play Survivor that I would give up my spot to let play. I am so thrilled that he gets the opportunity to come back and play this game. I mean, it's such a reward for everything that he has been through. And, you know, whenever he was sick, he had a little, I don't even know what it's called, but a group email that as he was going through treatment, he would talk about it.
Yeah.
And I would just cry, you know, and I would beg and plead God to please save his life. And, So the fact that he is healthy, that he is out there playing this game again and gets another opportunity, I'm just over the moon happy for him.
Me too. I really love Ethan also, and he seems like he's having so much fun. It's been a joy to watch him in the season. I got to see him the other night. I had gone to they had a screening of the first episode, and I got to see him there, and he just seems like he is in the best spirits about everything and being back. Even when he voted in that first tribal council, he's like, feels good to be back. So excited for Ethan, because even the last time that he played in the All-Stars, that from the get-go, when Jenna Lewis says, "All right, well, you know, the winners, they have to go." So he was very frustrated that whole game in the All-Stars, and he made it very far for somebody who had such a big target on his back. But it's nice to see him being able to enjoy himself a little bit out there.
Yeah, and he had some great sound bites and just seemed very comfortable and, not really knowing what's going on. Mm-hmm. he was scrambling and like, what the heck? It's so fast. But he was so funny in some of his comments. And that seems like, it's not like he's psychologically off base or anything. It's just like, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm here and I'm happy to be here. So I'm just tickled for him. I hope he goes far.
Yeah, I do too. Tina, do you think that he's doing that at all as a shield of the, oh, I'm old now, I don't know what's going on, the game is so fast, I don't know anything? Because he's a really smart guy. I feel like that he's putting it on a little bit.
Well, he is smart, but I think that he has not played in so long. I mean, even just the difference between All-Star and Blood versus Water, mm-hmm. it was so dramatically different.
Yeah.
In that, and I think especially this season, because I think we're going to see this season being played more like white collar, blue collar, no collar. I think we're going to see a lot of voting blocks for tribal council, but you're not really going to see strong alliances.
Okay.
When you're playing for $2 million, I think that, I don't think you're going to have a lot of loyalty this season. People are going to switch things up and do what they have to do and, no hard feelings, but, hey, it's $2 million.
Yeah. Do you feel like that additional prize money will change the way that people play? Because I've tried to think about that in terms of, I think you'd still work with the same people, but I wonder maybe when you get more towards the end game, if you might be more likely to get rid of somebody that, well, it could be a close vote, and maybe you try to lock it down more in terms of getting to the final three and getting rid of somebody who is somebody who has a great case in the final three.
Well, as someone who, you can't get anybody more old school than me. Mm-hmm. And for me personally, $2 million would definitely be an attitude changer for mm-hmm. me. I think that I would probably have less qualms about playing the game as a game and less as a moral code of ethics, so to speak. I've always said I've never voted off anybody that I've asked to personally be in an alliance. I have voted off a lot of people who asked me to be in their alliance, but I've always remained loyal to those I've asked. Mm-hmm. And if I was out there, I might would be able to break my moral code and go for the money.
Okay. So if you were out there, if you were one of the winners at war, then who would you try to align with? So we know Ethan is somebody that you would work with. Are there any other people out of this group that you feel like, okay, I think that these are the people that would be great alliance partners for you?
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because, at first, whenever I first saw the cast, I thought, oh my gosh, these people would absolutely eat my lunch. I wouldn't have a chance. Mm-hmm. But then once I watched the first episode, I'm like, you know, all I really would have to do is to kind of sit back and keep my mouth shut, mm-hmm. because I really think that the power players are, they're going to kind of eat themselves. You know, there's going to be such a struggle to get out the top players between each other. Mm-hmm. You know, I know Sandra is going to be threatened by poverty and Rob and Tyson. I mean, all of them know they're going to have to get each other out. And so what I would do is I would go to the people who are kind of at the bottom of the feeding chain. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like Sarah, like Sophie.
Yeah.
You know, Sophie and Michelle, I think that they're probably, and maybe even Adam, even though Adam is a very strong player, I think, you know, he's probably a little starstruck. Mm-hmm. And also Ben, I love Ben, Jeremy Wendell, you know, some of the people who have come along later and maybe aren't at the very, very, very top, mm-hmm. and say, you know, look, you know, I'm not at the top. I don't have a whole lot of outside relationships with these people. And, you know, let's work together. And we know we've got to get them off. So I think that I would have tried to form an alliance with some of those people.
Interesting. So you feel almost that even though you are an old school player, that because you don't know as many people, that it's almost like you'd be more likely to work with some of the newer players.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. Because I've played with Tyson. I've played with Rob. I know you can't trust these people. I know who I can't trust. You know, I have more of an opportunity to trust some of the people who have come along later. And even though they play a new school style, I think at least in the beginning, we could at least work together to help get out some of the more powerful players.
So we did see a big power play at that first tribal council. I really thought it was going to be Adam at that first tribal council. Did you think that it was going to be Adam, or you thought something else was going on?
I thought, surely to God, surely, surely, Rob, if their team lost, Rob would go out. And surely if DeCall lost, then Tyson would go out. Tyson or Sandra.
Yeah.
You know, it's just these people know these players. And if they have any sense whatsoever, mm-hmm. they're going to vote off the biggest threats. So yeah. I was shocked with both Natalie and Amber. Just I couldn't believe. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, are we going to have another season of these top players going to the end? Mm-hmm. And if so, it just shows how good they are.
Mm-hmm. Tina, so here's Natalie. She ends up being the first person who's voted out of the game. And that's another distinction that you had been the only other person to have that where those bookends of that if you're the first person that gets voted out and then also the winner of the season. How do you think that Natalie is going to be able to handle that?
She's strong. You know, she's both a mentally and a physically strong person. And, you know, people ask me about that first off vote, you know, what that's like. And, you know, more than it being a hit to your ego, mm-hmm. for me personally, I always feel so sorry for the first person voted out because, you know, Survivor is just the most crazy, wonderful experience. And we go out there to have this amazing experience. And whenever you're first voted out, you miss it. You know, it's kind of like, you know, getting the most delicious triple scoop of ice cream. Mm-hmm. And you haven't had ice cream for a year and you only get one lick, mm-hmm. you know, and you're robbed of the experience. And oh, it's so hard for me to watch those first, especially for players who are playing for the first time, mm-hmm. and who haven't got this experience. And so they're voted off. It just, it just kills me for them. So anyway, I think Natalie's going to do fine. I think, you know, I'm not a big fan of whatever it's called, Redemption Island or Island of Extinction, whatever it is. I'm not a huge fan of that. Yeah. But I think having these fire tokens and immunities and all these twists and turns, that adds a little bit of a different dynamic to it all that I think is going to make it very interesting season. And it kind of gives you, like she said, you know, wow, I do have a little bit of power in this game, even though I'm stuck out here. Mm-hmm. I can still help somebody else and manipulate the game a little bit. So that helps.
Right. I think in the first version of The Edge of Extinction, you sort of like, okay, you're on the edge of extinction. And once in a while they had like a, you know, something to do. But I think it was the idea was you sort of like just sit here. How long can you stand being on the edge of extinction? And are you just going to like raise the flag and leave? At least you have something to do on the edge of extinction. And for us to watch it, at least they have something going on. So I think it's probably going to be a little bit more palatable in terms of watching it on the show. And God knows that I would love to have gone to the edge of extinction rather than get voted out. But Tina, I just want to add to what you're saying about being the first person off on the season, because that when we were together, and I don't know how if everybody that's listening knows that Tina and I actually got to spend several weeks together after we were both voted out in the early stages of the game in Survivor All-Stars, and we were at Ponderosa, and then we went to Bariloche, Argentina, and we spent three weeks there. It was me and Tina and Rudy and Richard, and Richard then left very abruptly and went off, and then he had his own adventure. So it was me and Tina and Rudy in the cottage for a couple of weeks, and Tina had to listen to me bellyache and complain. So for how much, Tina? How much
about being out of the game? I remember saying, Rob, please, can we talk about something else, anything else, anything? And it's like there was nothing else to talk about. And I thought I was going to kill you.
Yeah. But, God bless you, Tina.
But look. Yeah. Look what it's morphed into. I mean, something that you're so passionate about, and I'm just so proud of you.
Luckily, I still get to talk about it, but I'm not as upset about about what happened then. But you were the first person out, and you were like, all right, Rob, can we like really how much do we have to talk about this? I want to keep hearing this story over and over again. So I thank you for all of your, bedside manner in terms of having to hear me talk about this. Could you imagine if we were on the edge of extinction, no. Tina?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my.
Yeah.
Well, it's so funny, you know, because when I was on Redemption Island, the island itself was so small.
Yeah.
I mean, it was teeny, teeny, tiny. And the beach was really, really short. And I was out there with Laura Moret, who can sleep. She's like a bear. She hibernates. She can sleep 20 out of 24 hours a day.
Wow.
And I would be out. It's like being, I mean, really by myself, because I would be out there and I would pace like a caged animal. I'd pace that beach back and forth 100 times walking back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And so at least this edge of extinction, it looks like the island's a little bigger,
mm-hmm.
and they can, you know, go up to this overlook and, you know, at least have a little bit of walking room.
Yeah. Yeah. I wanted to ask you about Redemption Island and what did you do all day? But it sounds like there was nothing you could do. I guess you can go in the water. And that's it.
Torture. Absolute torture. The sheer boredom is, I mean, for me, that was, I like isolation. I mean, I can be alone very, very easily, but it's very hard to be alone and bored, you know, because there just wasn't anything to do.
Yeah. Yeah, I can only imagine. I can only imagine just sitting there. But you waited. Somebody new came in every couple of days, as opposed to the edge of extinction now, where everybody is going to end up being. So how do you think Amber is going to handle the edge of extinction?
Oh, boy. You know, it's going to be hard for her because she left her family, her four girls, to come out there. And I think that it's going to be emotionally more difficult for her than it is Natalie. You know, I think Natalie's going to have a mission. I think Amber will, she'll stay strong. I don't think she'll raise the flag.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to be a whole lot harder for her.
Yeah. Do you think that if Rob ends up joining her on the Edge of Extinction, do you think that they will end up like finding comfort with each other being there? Or is it going to be the kind of thing where that for the, if they're both out of the game, then, you know, the whole point of the Edge of Extinction this season is to be able to try to work with people that are inside of the game. I kind of wonder if that, if they're both out, you know, is it going to be hard for them to keep focus on, you know, trying to, you know, send advantages? I guess maybe they would just concentrate on trying to win the advantage to get back into the game.
Yeah, I think that they will definitely, Rob will dictate what they do. Mm-hmm. And Rob will, you know, if Amber has a token or Rob has a token, they'll pull their tokens and then they will work together to assist whoever is still in the game that they want to help.
Yeah.
And then if either one of them gets back in the game, they will use that for their advantage, you know, mm-hmm. by saying, hey, look, you know, we really kept you in. We expect you to, you know, help me now. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that they're going to lollygag around by any means.
Right. Yeah, because I had said in the preseason that I felt like that, you know, Rob's best chance to win the game was, you know, maybe he has to go to the Edge of Extinction and then he ends up being the person who comes back very late in the game, like we saw with Chris Underwood a couple seasons ago. And then he's able to win a challenge or two. So if he can, like, collect enough fire tokens from people to be able to buy his way to get an advantage in that challenge, then, you know, maybe that's, you know, between the two of them, they sort of like work towards, you know, trying to get Rob back into the game at final six.
And let me just ask you about that, because
sure.
and get your opinion, because, you know, you were talking about Chris Underwood and his win. You know, I always feel sorry for people who win the game, who for whatever reason, people felt that they didn't, it wasn't a good win. You know, mm-hmm. they're not happy with the person for winning, even though, you know, the guy, he ends up, you know, making fire and doing everything that he had to do in order to win, which I thought was quite impressive. They didn't respect, I guess that's what the word I'm looking for. They didn't respect his win. And so with this Edge of Extinction thing, if you've got somebody who's they're out of the game and you've got the best of the best out there fighting day after day after day. And let's say, let's pick somebody, cause I'll pick Yule cause he's one of my mm-hmm. very favorites. Let's say Yule has gone. He might be targeted several times, but he's deflected the arrows thrown at him. Mm-hmm. He survives all the tribal councils, makes it to the merge, goes through the merge, and he has had to play really, really hard. Well, okay, we bring in whoever from Extinction Island, let's say it's Rob, and, you know, this is why I don't like Extinction Island, because I've got this thing about fairness, mm-hmm. you know, and it's just, it's not fair. It's not a... If you've played your heart out, you don't want to see somebody win, and you don't really want in a game like this one where there's so many good players, it would just be a travesty, I mm-hmm. think, for someone who's been out of the game and not having to play as hard as these players are going to have to play to come back and win the game. Mm-hmm. I just don't like it.
Yeah, I
don't like it.
Think most people would agree with that. Did you ever have that kind of feeling, though, about Redemption Island? Because that you were somebody who was the Redemption Island returnee and then, you know, had I think basically maybe one immunity challenge away from you could have potentially been that Chris Underwood person where you had a lot of friends on the jury. And if you got him into that final three after coming out from Redemption Island, then you if you as the winner probably wouldn't mind it, right?
Hey, a win's a win. And, you know, if you're on that side of the coin,
the
you
check
know,
doesn't bounce.
I know. And it would be like, dang, I can't win for losing. You know, yeah. The first time I won, it was because Kobe gave it to me. And then this time it would be because, you know, Redemption Island, yeah. You know, what's it going to take for me to get respect here? I get no respect, Rob. I get no respect.
Yeah, I think it would have been fun because at least you could say like, yeah, I got voted out, but I got back in. But I at least I've won another season. Whereas I think with Chris, it was more like, well, who is this guy? We don't even know who he is that just won the game. He wasn't even on the show. So I do feel like that if the person came back from the edge of extinction, people wouldn't like it. But I feel like that if it was, you know, say somebody like a Parvati comes back and wins, that I feel like that it would be less of a like than where people were so upset with Chris Underwood, where you don't say, oh, like, who is this Parvati person? We don't even know who she is. And then she just comes back from the edge of extinction. So you're right. It's not fair. But I think that I think we could wrap our heads around it a little bit more.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because of the familiarity.
Yeah.
Tina, let me ask you about this Poker Player Alliance, because that I'd love to get your sense on, you know, as a person who, you know, has played multiple times and you've played on seasons with other returning players in the All-Stars and on Blood versus Water. Like, how do you sort out like, OK, what's a real pregame alliance that people are having in terms of that, you know, there's a lot of talk in this episode. Oh, these four people went to go play poker together. So, all right, we know that that's an alliance. And so we have to break that up. Is it really just like, is it any connections that people might have is something that you might want to go after? Or is there like something that you're looking for in terms of trying to find out who are people who actually have these relationships or are they going to work together?
Good question. And unless you're a super insider person, mm-hmm. who knows the inside going ons of all these people's lives, you just don't know. Like, you know that Tyson and Rob are friends, mm-hmm. you know, but you also know that they both want to win this game. And so you're thinking to yourself, well, is their friendship strong enough that they really would take each other to the end? Or, you know, did they talk before the game and say, okay, brother, you know, we'll play this game, but, you know, at such and such a point, we both know that we would cut each other, but no hard feelings.
Yeah.
Whenever Tyson made that comment about, you know, okay, we're here together. This, if we ever play, this will be our thing.
Yeah.
You know, there's one thing to say that, but who knows? He might have said that, and then he might not have had another conversation ever again with Kim Spradlin, you know, who knows?
Yeah.
You know, so, but you're so paranoid out there. And I definitely think that alliance with Natalie and Jeremy was a bigger threat than the poker alliance thing is, you know.
Yes. I agree with that. I mean, Natalie and Jeremy have like a real life bond that I think that that Natalie is, you know, a real part of Jeremy's family, Jeremy and Val. And they're extremely close from having played together, whereas the poker players, I think they probably had a fun night like playing on this poker show, but I don't think that necessarily anybody's going to make a move that's not in their interest based on like, oh, like we're the poker people. We can't go against the four.
Yeah, but the beauty of it is as long as it's not you, mm-hmm. you yeah. know, you're like, okay, there's a name being thrown out and it's not mine. So I'm going to jump on that bandwagon.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think that you ended up being sort of on the receiving end of that two different times for being a winner, which is all the more frustrating that you don't get to play again without having that target of being a winner on your back, because I think that you got that in the All-Stars of, okay, well, that obviously Tina and Ethan, they're the winners. They must be working together. We got to get rid of them. And then also, I feel like that people came for you and Aris and said, okay, oh, they're winners. They must be working together. That's another reason why we have to go after them. And you know, who knows why, you know, people are, you know, if they feel like it's true or not. But I feel like that's something, an easy thing to throw at people.
It is. And I don't blame them. You know, I remember in All-Star, you know, I had written a thing to Burnett and I said, look, you've got to put all the winners on the same tribe or they're going to vote us out one by one. And, you know, if it was me, I would do exactly the same thing. So there wasn't any hard feelings, but as far as production goes, you know, they've got to take that in consideration in any time they put together certain teams and tribes. They need to consider that. But then there's been other seasons, like with Sandra. Mm-hmm. She's a former winner. Rob, he goes out there and somehow, some way, zombies everybody into never voting for him. Mm-hmm. You know, so I don't know. It seems like it's a point on some seasons, but not on other ones.
Yeah. Who else really impressed you in this first night of the season?
Oh my gosh! Of course, I'm a huge Yul fan.
Yes.
I've never met Yul, but whenever I watched his season, and I think watching him, it was the first time no one had ever cast any votes against him, and all the votes went to him for the win.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember absolutely loving who he was and his game and his integrity.
Yeah.
And so now here he is. He's back after all these years. And how smart, you know, I mean, like, did you know anything about the poker thing? Because I didn't even know it. But yeah, must have somehow researched.
I remember when those guys went to go play in, you know, in a poker game. And I feel like that, you know, they all seem like, you know, Rob and Tyson and Kim and Jeremy, they all seem like that. They sure they would get along and they're all kind of big threats. So, you know, it makes sense that they would probably want to keep each other around. But I don't think that there's sort of like they hatched a formal thing on that show of like, hey, like this is going to be the four that's going to run the island. It's just, I think it's easy to throw those things out, and whether or not they end up, you know, being true or not is sort of besides the point.
Did you see that? You know, I know they showed the clip of Tyson saying yeah. that, but did you know that before they showed the clip?
I knew that they had played it. I remember Tyson had talked about it. And I remember like people were tweeting about it when it was happening, but I did not actually watch the clip. I think the thing I knew about it was that Boston Rob was wearing a beret. I think that was the one notable thing. I said, what? Yeah, why is Boston Rob wearing a, you know, he's supposed to wear a Red Sox hat, not a beret.
That's funny. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Well, you know, here Yul is playing, you know, to me, I'm like, I'm sure that he had other things to do than research Survivor stuff. But, you know, I think that he probably really studied a lot of things before he came out and played. And so I, of course, was very impressed with his game. I'm impressed with Ethan. And even though yeah. I know I like Ethan, but you know, I like that he is kind of being really lighthearted mm-hmm. and really kind of playing with other people, you know, and talking to other people. I like the fact that Tony is trying to have a little bit of restraint. You know, you can tell it goes against everything in his being to try to stay calm. You know, I think he's just going to at one point just implode. but I'm so proud of him. You know, that can't be easy.
Yeah, no, he's doing a great job so far that he's, you know, because he was so out of control when he came back for the Game Changers, that the fact that he's been able to restrain himself, and he's been, I think if you are a Tony fan, he's had as good of a night as you possibly could have had. What about Tyson, that you played with Tyson in Blood versus Water? It looks like that he was in some hot water, potentially. Tony was throwing his name out there, but seems like that he was able to get the target off of his back, at least for this one vote.
Yeah, and I don't know how in the world he got it off of his back.
Yeah.
Because if they're going to if they're going to target this poker thing, then why Tyson? Why Tyson? Yeah. I don't understand. Why not him over Amber?
Mm-hmm.
And because, you know, Rob's on the other tribe. It's not like he's a threat at this point. You can always go back and get Amber, but you know, that's why Tyson is so dangerous. He is so incredibly dangerous because the guy is, besides you, he's one of the funniest guys I've ever met.
Yeah.
And he's so entertaining. And when you're playing with him, like what you're seeing whenever he's doing his confessionals, he's telling you, okay, well, here's really what's going on. But when you're playing with him, you want to be around him all day.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's so fun. He's making the day go by faster because he's always making jokes and being silly. And you really want to be around people who are up and happy instead of, you know, moaning and crying and not having a good time. And I'm tired and I'm hungry and I'm cold and don't like the rice and I don't like this. And, you know, you don't want to be around those people. You want to be around the fun people. And that's who Tyson is. And so you're more reluctant to vote him off because you're having such a good time.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next thing you know, he's running the freaking show. So, you know, that's why I was like with this first vote, whenever they took out Amber instead of him, I was like, oh my gosh, his foot's in the door.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Tony, I can definitely see how Tony might be like, well, you know, yeah, Tyson's a big threat and he voted out my name, but you know, he's such a cool guy and good to be around.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh my God. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen.
Tina, I was also surprised that Kim didn't end up getting more attention in terms of the vote. It seemed like that they ostracized her. Seemed like that they, all right, let her know she was on the hot seat. But then if it was between Kim or Amber, Kim is such a dangerous player that she played such a great game the first time. And they talked about it in the preseason. Everybody was worried about Kim. But then they had her right there on a silver platter and they still went with Amber.
Yeah. So as you know, we don't know anything really that's going on behind the scenes. So something happened in those first 3 days. There's some conversation or some underlining shenanigans that are going on that we don't know about.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, until somebody spills the beans on what was going on, you know, we'll just have to say, something's going on that we don't know about. And that's why Amber went home.
Yeah. So, I mean, that my guess is that Sandra was must have been pushing for Amber. Do you think that that's what it could have been also?
Definitely could be that. And if it is that, if I'm Sandra and when Rob goes ballistic, when he sees that Amber's voted out, I would be, if I was Sandra, I'd be going, it was Tyson's idea.
Oh, but that's not Sandra. Sandra, that's a really good point of that. What is Sandra going to do when they go to the next challenge? That would Sandra let Rob know, like, hey, I did this?
Oh, man. You know, she's sassy enough that she would. But she's also smart enough, you know, she doesn't have any problem with lying.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe the smarter move would be to not do the sass and do the lying. at this point of the game, at this point.
You know, but I think that Sandra works best with a foil where that there's somebody that she's like going up against, whether it's Johnny Fairplay or Russell. She had Tony for a minute in Game Changers, but then got rid of him too fast. But if she can go, you know, after Boston Rob, if she can make leave me in the game, I'll take out Boston Rob. I'm not afraid of him. I'm going after him. Yeah. I wonder if that could be a good shield for her, where that people are like, well, I'm too scared. You saw Ben and Danny in this episode of everybody's afraid to go after Rob. Sandra's not. You keep her around that she could be the person who's going to take all the heat for going after Boston Rob. And if he says, hey, who said my name? Then it's like, oh, Sandra. It wasn't me. Sandra's saying it.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, very possible. Very possible.
Yeah, I think, you know, and it might be a good shield for her, where instead of everybody coming for her, she can say like, hey, why are you coming for me? I'm going after Rob. That's the person I'm targeting. And if you want to get Rob out of the game, you got to work with me.
Uh-huh. Yeah, good point.
Yeah. And guess
Very
what?
Good.
You know, yeah. Hey, who do you think he's going to come after? If you get rid of me, he's going to want payback for voting his wife out of the game. That if I'm around, I'll be that lightning rod. And if not, he's going after you guys.
Yeah, that sounds like a good plan.
Yeah, maybe. Tina, I want to bring in some questions from the listeners of the podcast, if you're up for it. We've got a bunch of stuff. This is Ron from Toronto wants to know, did any of the players on this season reach out to you to try to form a pregame alliance? That I know that you weren't going out there, but... Were you suddenly getting messages from people that you hadn't heard from in a long time, seeing how you were doing?
I did get a couple. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's always like, hey, just thinking about you.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's funny because I'll tell you, Sandra was one of them. Mm-hmm. And it just goes to show you, you know, I'm like, if I had gone out there, I probably would have tried to saddle up next to Sandra.
Yeah.
And then I saw an interview where she said, you know, she's going to target all the women and get rid of all the women first. Mm-hmm. And so that just goes to show you, here she is, she's calling me, but then she's going to vote all the women out first, and I would have been such a sucker. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I'm not sure I'm equipped to play this stupid game because I don't know what the right decision is. You know, it's just, I don't know, Rob.
Yeah, I really don't. I don't know how much value there is in sort of, you know, trying to reach out to people before the game, because I think that you're either friends with people or you're not already friends with people. And then I feel like that if you reach out before the game starts, I think it comes off as very transparent.
Yeah. And I will say, I really, really respected Rob whenever he said, and I don't know if it's true or not, but, you know, he told Sandra, you know, just for the record, I didn't call anybody. Mm-hmm. And I like that. I don't call people and ask them to be in a pregame alliance whenever I play. And I like that. I like, okay, well, you know, I'm going to want to go out there and production whenever we first started playing the game, they worked so hard to make it a pure game so that there's not pregame alliances. So I really respect Rob for doing that. Mm-hmm. Of course, you know, you could say, well, pregame alliances are part of the game now, you know, so you're crazy to not do it. Mm-hmm. There's that side of it.
Yeah, I don't know, like, you know, what's the success story of, like, what's the great pregame alliance that people put together that ended up working? I think Brad and Troyzan, I think were, you know, pretty tight, but I don't know if it is necessarily like an alliance or what that looks like. I guess, well, where does the line between friendship and an alliance start?
Yeah, well, Monica, she called just about every single person mm-hmm. who played the game that season, you know.
Yeah.
And there she is, you know, she went to the end and I didn't even know Monica. Mm-hmm. And she called me and, oh, you're just one of my favorites. And I really look forward. I want to play with you. Mm-hmm. So for her, it worked out pretty darn well. She might not have won, but she got awfully far in the game.
Tina, this is a question from Melanie who wants to know, we all thought that Rob getting voted out would be something that might help Amber. Do you see Amber getting voted out as something that could help Rob?
Wow, that's a very good question. I think there's 10 reasons why to vote Rob off, and voting Amber off took it down to 9.
Okay.
now there's only 9 reasons to vote him off. So That's how I feel about that.
Yeah. She's on the edge of extinction, too. So I think then it's potentially that she could be sending him stuff. And I don't think they know necessarily how that mechanism works. So maybe they're not too worried about that. But I wonder if maybe that he has like a little bit of like an even more of a spark, like he has a vendetta now because they voted out Amber. It's going to be very interesting to me to see how he reacts to that, because, you know, we saw the one time that it looked like that Amber was going to get voted out in the All-Stars. Obviously, he was very upset. And that was after just like being, you know, in a relationship with her for like 18 days. Now they're together for like 18 years. And so it'll be interesting to see how he's going to react to that they went after Amber.
Exactly. And I wouldn't mind if every season was a blood versus water, because that dynamic is so intense and strong. And I don't know. It adds something to the season. And mm-hmm. so we don't know how Rob's going to respond. I think you're right that he could be, man, Now this means, you know, I came out to play the game and now I'm coming out to get, you know, a vendetta for my wife, you know, so mm-hmm. who knows what's going to happen. That's what makes Survivor so good, is because we don't know what's going to happen. And I can't wait till next Wednesday.
Of course, Tina, you played in the Blood versus Water season with your daughter, Katie. Does Katie still follow Survivor at all?
Neither one of us have television.
Yes.
But she only watched my Australia season.
Yes.
And I guess she watched our Blood versus Water. Mm-hmm. I'm not even sure she watched it till the end. And I won't say she's not a Survivor fan. She's just not a TV person
at
all.
Not a TV person. Well, what's Katie up to these days?
Yeah. So praise Jesus, she has a boyfriend. Woohoo! So it was funny because she actually is going to Mexico today for a wedding.
Yes.
And she was sitting next to a lady who had a baby, and she sent me a picture of the baby. And so, of course, I had to make some comments about that was God delivering the message to her to get with the program and give me a grandbaby. And she was like, keep dreaming. And I'm like, keep sassing me with that attitude, and I'm going to pray for twins. And so we just had this whole big conversations about babies.
We have a question for you from Jason, who says, how did Tina find the adjustment from the early seasons to Blood versus Water? And how could Amber have dealt with that better after even longer away from the game? You mentioned that briefly. We're talking about Ethan, about how you felt like that the game had really gotten faster from when you played in season 8 to season 27. And now here we are at season 40. Can you explain just a little bit of what that's like? Because, you know, Tina, if I ever go back, then, you know, I want to be able to prepare for this, so that I would have an even longer layoff than Amber and Ethan.
Yeah. And by the way, I wish you would go back. Would you go back if they ask you? No, you've been asked that a million times.
Yeah. People ask me and I don't know. I'm open to the idea of it, but I also love what I get to do so much. And, you know, I think it would be fun, but like, I really don't think that anybody would let me get far in the game. And I love what I get to do, and I just kind of don't want to screw it up also. So I think it would be fun until it's day three and I'm going to tribal council and everybody's throwing my name out there. But the difference is, Tina, you know how miserable I was at the Ponderosa. This time I would be sleeping in Laura Moret style 20 out of 24 hours a day with no little kids waking me up early in the morning, no email. I would relish that time. I still don't want to hike up the Frey Hut, but I would relish that time outside of the game.
Oh, that's so funny. Oh gosh. Well, I would say, you know, we are at an advantage in that we get to watch kind of what's going on in the game now from, you know, being as a viewer. And so even though the game is progressing so quickly and whenever you're out there, it is a little bit of a shock. But even the difference between Blood versus Water and now, I feel like I've learned so much mm-hmm. from watching the players. And you know, like I got really mad at Tyson for breaking up the alliance that I thought we had. Mm-hmm. And I kind of went off on Tyson.
Yes, I remember.
I'm like, you know, I really regret that. Not because I went off on him, but because I was unable still, after all those years, to separate myself from the game. And he's playing the game and he was playing a smart game. And why couldn't I be like so many players that play the game now and go, man, that was a great move you made. And then bust my butt to try to form up something to get him back, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm trying to learn as a player watching the season, even though I'm not out there playing. I'm definitely watching and taking note and figuring out, you know, how can I be a better player next time I go out?
Mm-hmm. And you're such a competitor that just going back to you having the first time you played, you brought the Scrabble game out there with you. And, you know, you are going to take that game of Scrabble as serious as you're going to take the game of Survivor, right?
Well, it's backgammon, not Scrabble.
Oh, I'm sorry. And no. Who had Scrabble?
I don't know.
I think somebody else on the Outback.
I don't know. But yes, I am uber, uber competitive.
Yes.
And I'm stubborn and I want to win. And, you know, it's harder, I think, for people with my mentality. If you have the mentality of the Robs and the Sandras, who can very easily separate the game from their personal life, it's such an easier game for them to play. Whereas for me, you know, you feel conflicted. And so it's a harder game to play. But I think that's part of becoming a better player, is saying, okay, so that might go against who you are. But if you want to be a good player, that's what you need to learn how to do. Yeah. And work on those skills. So I think that on Blood versus Water, I was a little bit tougher than I was in my other seasons. And I played with a little bit more of an attitude. And I think that if I were to go back now, I would even have more of an attitude mm-hmm. and, you know, play a little harder than I have played before.
Yeah. And Tina, Kimmy had the Scrabble game as her luxury item that I got it confused with the backgammon. But I do also remember, I think you also whooped my butt when we played Scrabble at Ponderosa.
Well, Thank you. I hope I did.
I think so. I'm actually not that good at Scrabble also. I like to play it, but as I've gotten older and I've played more people than just like my sister, I've realized that there are a lot of people that are much better at Scrabble than I am.
Now, I'm a huge gamer. So yes. I play in our little community. We have, you know, when people are here, not a lot of people are here very often, but when they are, we have game night. Almost every night before I go to bed, I play online backgammon. So
wow.
I love games.
Yeah. How competitive are you with online backgammon?
Very. Yeah. I get really mad. If I don't get a good roll, I get really mad.
Mm-hmm. Tina, have you ever met Dani Boatwright? Do you have any interactions with her?
Love Dani Boatwright. Love her. And yes, I have.
Yes.
And I actually had a conversation with her recently about the season. So she's someone I really like.
Okay. All right. Tina, Lauren Pratt wants to know, how do you feel about the fire tokens? Do you have any thought about fire tokens? They're kind of like the Scrabble. I'm sorry, the backgammon. What would you call them? The backgammon. What are the pieces called on backgammon, Tina?
That's all I call them, or just pieces. Backgammon pieces. Yeah. You know what? I thought I really wouldn't like them, but it's the only redeeming quality of having this extinction.
Yeah.
Age of extinction. Yeah, there you go. It's the only redeeming quality of it. I think that if I were there and we had that available to us, then it would give me something to look forward to as a player. But then also it would give me something to strategize with, you know, because I think that I saw as we were watching, can't you save some of them and buy an idol? Is that right? Or buy your way back into the game somehow?
I think you can buy an advantage in the challenge. I think if you have three of them, you can use the three of them to, when they have the Edge of Extinction challenge, like maybe you get a head start or one less thing that you have to do, like less knots to untie or whatever. So you can sort of either trade them in for food or you can trade them for, different things to eat. So you could, play it a different way if you wanted to.
Okay. Well, I don't care about food. So, you know, I would be trying to get as many of those tokens as I could in order to get an advantage in the game. And that would, you know, make me feel like I'm still playing to some degree instead of pacing a stupid island back and forth.
Although with the food, that if you knew the challenge was coming up and you know that last time they did it, they did one at the merge and one like towards like the final six, I think it was. So if you have like two fire tokens, I wonder if maybe the move is to buy the food the day before the challenge so you have the energy to compete in the challenge.
I don't think eating really makes that big of a difference in the challenges.
Interesting.
Because I really don't, it doesn't for me. It doesn't seem, I mean, one meal, mm-hmm. you know, I would understand if you were eating on a regular basis, but I don't think, you know, we're all eating equal amounts, but then this one night before I get a bunch of pizza.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think that's going to make me superwoman and able to kick your butt. You know, I think so. Yeah. I would much rather use it as a strategic, something strategic and get a real advantage in the game. You know,
Tina, do you suspect that they might even eat better on the Edge of Extinction than you guys did in the Australian Outback?
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure of it. That's one of the things that we, you know, I think that production learned with our season mm-hmm. was if you don't feed the monkeys, they won't perform. and it's funny because I lost the exact amount. I lost 20 pounds on Australia and on Blood versus Water. And yet we had pineapple. We had some coconuts. We had some plantains. I mean, we had something on blood versus water that, and we had nothing other than rice in Australia. So I felt like that it doesn't matter, even if you've got a little more food, people's bodies are going to only be able to handle so much. Mm-hmm. And so we didn't have hardly anything, like I said, in Australia. So we were so very, very weak. And we would stand up and want to, you know, we'd pass out, and we just laid there in our tent all day, and they weren't getting any good shots. So production really has to give the people a little more food just in order to have a decent show.
Ben wants to know, Tina, would you spend your fire tokens on some Doritos?
Oh, now he's getting personal. No, I would not spend it on Doritos. I would spend it to win the GAME.
Yes, but you still love Doritos.
So much. Love Doritos.
Regular
My favorite
or Cool
chips.
Ranch?
No regular.
Okay.
And I love to lick all the stuff off of them and then eat the chip. That's how I eat them. I eat them like a Tootsie Roll pop. You know how you lick all the stuff off and then you eat
suck
the Tootsie Roll?
The Dorito and then you eat the chip.
Yeah, I eat suck all the stuff off of it first.
Oh no.
That's disgusting, isn't it?
Like, you're like a baby. Tina,
it
I never knew that about
too.
You. We never got a hold of any Doritos in Bariloche.
Yeah, and it's probably not good for me to eat them in public because that looks kind of disgusting.
Don't think it'll soggy?
No.
Okay, they maintain their crisp even after
yes.
Yeah, even after you get all of the Dorito dust off of them. This is a question from another one of our listeners. Joshua wants to know, if he was given the opportunity, should Boston Rob give up his place for his wife like Rupert did in Blood versus Water? What do you think about that?
Absolutely not.
No. I thought it was a good idea.
You know, I can see why Rupert would do it, but there's no chance in heck that Rob would ever do that. Mm. You know, he's not the same person as Rupert. And I'm not sure, you know, I don't think Amber's the same person that Laura is. I think that Amber really would want Rob to stay in the game, and she's so precious, you know, and mm-hmm. she really does love Rob
yeah.
so much. You know, it's almost like she also idolizes him.
Yeah, and I get that. It really does seem like that. They almost seem like they're like high school sweethearts.
Yeah. And I think that she knows, you know, Rob is, he's the survivor player. You know, yes, yeah. I played, yes, I've won, but you know, he's really much better at this than I am. So I think that she would want him to stay in it.
Yeah. We heard Amber say in the episode that, you know, she was happy her team won immunity, but then she was sad because that she was, you know, that she was rooting for, she loves Rob. She was rooting for his team to win the challenge. And of course, you played, you know, against a tribe with your daughter. And did you experience that at all? Were you like really conflicted in terms of the immunity, or you're such a competitor that you always wanted your team to win?
Oh man, you don't make me admit this.
Even after the other tribe was voting out all of the women, still.
Yeah, I always wanted to win, no matter what. But I always hoped that they wouldn't vote Katie out. How's
yeah.
that?
Yeah, okay. She hung in there. They never did. And then you guys ended up getting onto the same tribe after they had the swap. Tina, did you watch The Amazing Race when your former tribe mate, Laura Boneham and Rupert were competing on The Amazing Race?
I did. which is odd to say because I've only watched, I watched the first season of Amazing Race. Mm-hmm. And then I watched their first until they were voted off. And I watched that. And
it was only two episodes.
I don't have television.
Yeah.
So I had to go over to a neighbor's house and have it recorded to watch it. But I wanted to see how they did. So,
yeah.
And I'm glad they got that experience.
Yes. Yeah. They didn't get to do great.
Right.
Tina, are you ready for me to tell you about something that's a little out there?
Okay.
Tina, so a person that I do the Survivor podcast with, a very nice man by the name of Mike Bloom and I, we sometimes will do there's a website where you can run a simulation of a fake Survivor season. Okay, are you following me so far?
Okay.
So you can, I guess, run simulations of like seasons that already happened and then see, and I'll tell you like a different outcome. Like if we wanted to, you know, rerun All Stars, and then sometimes maybe me and you end up in the final two, which, you know, could be a fun way that, you know, in another universe, maybe it played out, but you can, you know, change things up. And what we ended up doing was we took all of the winners that did not go to Winners at War, the Winners at Peace, and we put them all into the simulator and then talked about how it was going to all play out. And you know, if anybody doesn't want to hear the results of this, they can skip ahead a couple of minutes. But Tina, I just want to let you know that you were the winner of Survivor Winners at Peace.
Are you serious?
Yep. You were in the final three. Tina, you played such a great game again. And you were in the final three with yourself and Mike Holloway and Tommy, Teaching Time with Tommy from last season. And it was a split vote. The final vote was 4-4-2 with a 10-person jury, and Tommy had to cast the deciding vote, and he cast it for you, Tina.
You're kidding me.
You were the winner.
So how does that work? I mean,
it's complicated. It's complicated, but we put all the winners that aren't there, and we put them into this thing called a Brant Steel, and then it spit out what happened.
That is so crazy.
Yeah. So congratulations of, you know.
Thank you. Do I win anything? Do I get like a t-shirt or anything?
Do you want a t-shirt? I just won.
Yes.
Survivor Winners at Peace.
Yes, I do. Because
okay.
I'm competitive. So if I win, I should get something.
We can work on that. Maybe I can get you a Rob as a Podcast coffee mug.
All right. That would be so cool. Okay.
That's good.
And you know what? I wonder, has Jeff Probst, speaking because you just mentioned it, like Mike Holloway, why did Mike not get? Why did they not call him to play?
I mean, that, I think all of these people that didn't get to go back, I think that, you know, they don't tell us the reason why that they didn't pick people. I think Mike really would have loved to have played again. I think that Mike is, you know, probably pretty bummed out that he didn't get to go, because Mike is somebody who loves Survivor so much. He's such a big fan. When he got to go on and go play, and then, you know, if he wouldn't have won, he, you know, probably would have been back in the second chances season, but he ended up that I think that they felt like that maybe Nick and Ben were, you know, the blue collar type people that already had won more recently, and that you're sort of like fighting for the same spot. That's the only thing that I could think of.
You know what? I think that there's enough people that would have gone back that they should have had like three teams.
I think they could have done 24 people. Tina, well, if this season's a big hit, in 2 years, maybe they could do a new, another, more Winners at War.
Oh my gosh, yes, that would be great. But then my heart might be broken again because they might not call me again.
Well, that's it. If they do another
one, I can only take so much disappointment, Rob.
Yeah. Speaking of Nick, is that, can you tell us about it? How did you run into Nick Wilson and Davey one time, Tina?
Oh my gosh. Okay. So I ran into them at the Hearts of Reality.
Yes, yes.
And it was really kind of sweet too, though, because they came over to me and they said, "So we're actually on the new season coming up." And it was before they had announced, you know, who was playing. And they were so adorable. I mean, they were just absolutely precious. And then I went to, I rode with Nick to another event in Ohio.
Okay.
And what a great guy. I mean, he's just such a good old boy. I love these country people mm-hmm. who go out and play. You know, I love their accents. I love just that they come from such modest backgrounds and mm-hmm. they get to have these crazy experiences. And so, but they also, you know, they didn't seem like they would be a likely pair.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're really good friends and both really good people. So that's how all that happened.
How did you think that Nick did last night, Tina?
But he did good. I thought that he would probably maybe jump in and play a little more, and which he may have. But, you know, as you know, with production, that mm-hmm. they're going to spotlight the movers and shakers. So, you know, I think that it would be hard to show everything that everybody was doing. But, you know, he seems to have his foot in the on the solid ground. And, you know, I think that there's some people who are playing that all they have to do right now is just shut up, keep their mouth shut, and let the hard players kill each other off. Mm-hmm. You know, right? Like you've got, you know, Sophie and Michelle, and even I think Nick and Ben, just don't play hard right now. Wait, there's going to come a time where you can, you know, play a little harder, but, you know, let these people who are out for blood kill each other first. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I mean, that might, some people may not feel that way. Some people may feel like, are you kidding me? No, you got to get in there and you got to start fighting from day one. But, you know, as we saw, you know, we didn't see anything hardly at all mm-hmm. from Sophie or Michelle last night. And, you know, I don't think they're on anybody's radar or anybody's target right now.
Yeah, I felt like that Sophie was, she was in with Yule. I liked what she was doing with Yule about how that Yule was going to be her nerd shield. And Michelle seemed like that she was very much blindsided by the, you know, that she was solidly with Jeremy and Natalie. I feel like that she was like the third wheel with them. And then, you know, it seemed like a good spot for her to be, because if you were going to try to break that up, you were never going to vote out Michelle out of Jeremy and Natalie. So I think that Michelle was in a good spot, but we'll see if they can get things back on the right track if they end up going to another tribal council. Let me go to a question. This is from one of our listeners, Alex Phillips, who wants to know, do you have any stories from Australia about playing with Amber, or any other stories about the survivors that you played with? Do you have any Amber stories from your time back on Ogacore, and then ultimately on Barramundi? Did I get Barramundi right?
You did get it right.
Yes.
Very good. Well, you know, she was so young.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think there's a little bit of hard feelings there, because, you know, Amber, every time we'd go to tribal council, it was just like, okay, who do you want me to vote for? You know, she didn't ever have a strategy. She didn't ever come up with anything. She was just there to be told what to do. Mm-hmm. And so that's why, you know, I was a little bit hard on her, and why there might be some hard feelings there.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, she was just so young.
Yeah.
And so that was her role whenever she was out there. But whenever our camp washed away, mm-hmm. that happened to be on our Thanksgiving, what would be Thanksgiving yeah. Day back in the States. And she was absolutely, you know, we all go through times when we're out there that some days are just harder than others. Mm-hmm. And she had an extremely, extremely hard day that day. And I thought that one might break her.
Yeah.
And, you know, I really felt kind of more mothering towards her that day. And I felt really bad for her. And then when Colby came back to camp and saw it, it was like she just collapsed in his arms and just cried and cried and cried. Mm-hmm. And she was, you know, pretty inconsolable that day. Mm-hmm. So that was her lowest of low days. And then, you know, of course, I think she felt really betrayed whenever we voted her and Jerry out, mm-hmm. which, you know, I felt kind of bad about that. But anyway, mm-hmm. that was that. But she's a sweet person. She's a sweet person, a sweet girl. And I'm just really, really proud of her for, yeah. you know, going on and having all the survivor experiences that she's had.
And really, at the time that you guys played in the Australian Outback, I mean, she was really a kid. I think that she was she 21 when you guys played? And, you know, with, yes. you know, not a ton of life experience yet under her belt, you know, to be thrust into, you know, playing this game, which is going to be seen that you, I mean, your season had, you know, such huge ratings. You guys were superstars when you guys were off of the show. That Tina, was it like every single weekend you guys were in another place, like doing appearances after Survivor Australian Outback?
Yeah, I got out my journal the other day. I'm a manic journaler.
Yeah.
And just for some reason, I started reading some in my journal, and I was reading about life back then. And I only averaged being home 5 days a month that first year of winning Survivor. And that second year, it wasn't much better. It was a little bit better, but not much. Mm-hmm. And it was just insane. And I can remember just waiting for the phone to ring because it's like, okay, would you like to go do blah, blah, blah? And I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
It's like every day was Christmas. Mm-hmm. It was so great.
What was your favorite thing that you got to do, Tina?
Play in the baseball All-Star game.
Oh,
with
cool.
Ernie Banks, Don Mattingly, and Steve Garvey, and Meat Loaf, and Vanessa Williams, and Tug McGraw. You know, oh my gosh, that was just... I was just in the outfield bawling, crying, just, I can't believe I'm here doing this. And going to the Grammys was really big, and opening the CMA awards, you know, I'm like, mm-hmm. whose life am I living? Because yeah. it's not mine. Mm-hmm. But let me tell you something else that I read in my journal that I had forgotten all about. That's pretty interesting. So, this was the night of our finale, and we're in the green room, and Mark Burnett comes in. And Mark was, of course, a lot more involved back then yes. than he is now. And so, you know, we would see him some at tribal council, and he brought his boys to meet us at one of the tribal councils. And so, you know, it was a lot different back then. So he comes in and he's talking to Colby and I. And he said, you know, you're about to be in a position where you're going to be asked a lot of questions. And he said, I would just really encourage you guys to be kind. He said, you're going to have the opportunity to say things about people, but you have to remember all these people have families, and you're going to be sending Christmas cards to them when all this is done. So, you know, I would just really encourage you to be kind. And, you know, and I look at that now, and, you know, I'm not sure that kindness is really celebrated. Mm-hmm. And also, I would say, you know, I almost kind of like to turn that back around on CBS and production and, you know, to remember that we as players, we also are people. And, you know, it would be nice if they treated us with a little bit more kindness. And, you know, instead of up, oh, you're in or you're out or, mm-hmm. you know, if, you know, they were a little, instead of just being a number or a name or a position on the game, if there was yeah. a little bit more kindness in that department on how we are handled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's that.
Look, anywhere we could get some more kindness in the world, I think that it would be greatly appreciated. And, you know, not all be, so quick to just go from 0 to 100 and, you know, blast each other all the time. And of course, you know, I'm sure it's very difficult with all these big personalities that they have to deal with. But I'm sure there is always room for being more, you know, conscientious of everybody's feelings, because it is deeply, you know, personal. I remember I had a, you know, long podcast that I had done with Tyson one time, and it was right before you guys went to go play in Blood versus Water. And I think that he was very upset about that. He was supposed to be on the season before. And I think that he had gone through casting and gone through, okay, like, send us this. And then he just never heard anything. And eventually they're like, oh, yeah, by the way, you're out. And he was like, very disenchanted with the process. And this was before he went back for Survivor Blood versus Water. So, you know, it happens to, you know, a lot of people where, you know, you go kind of far down the road, or, you know, like in your experience, you know, just having that one conversation and not a lot of explanation of what's going on. And I'm sure there's a bunch of people like me saying, like, but Tina, what happened? Why aren't you there?
Like, I don't know. Yeah, and just because this is the way that they've always done it, that doesn't mean that's the right way to do it. And I just think that you know, there should be some dialogue between Mark and Jeff and casting about, you know, how could we do this in a way that's a little more kind to the people, you know, because I don't think that it really matters to them about, you know, those things.
Yeah. Tina, when was the last time you talked with Colby? Do you guys keep in touch?
He called me yesterday, actually.
Okay. So we saw him. We did a live show down in Austin back, I think it was, I'm trying to remember what year it was. I think it was like a December of 2017. We did a live show and he came out to the live show and it was such a thrill. Everybody was so excited to see Colby, and he was great with the live crowd. And, you know, he looked great. He was really, you know, as he seemed like he was having fun being there. So it was a really wild night when we, you know, had Colby out for one of our live shows.
Oh, my gosh. I bet the place went crazy because he doesn't do hardly anything ever.
I know. But he had, but you know what? He doesn't do a lot of Survivor stuff, but he had all of his stories. Like, you know, he was back to, you know, whatever, like, speaking stuff that you guys did. Like, he had all his material ready to go.
It's crazy. I mean, you talk about off the cuff. You know, if I had like 20 minutes to think about what to say, I would do a whole lot better.
Yeah.
But he can just right off the hip come up with some kind of cute, clever, adorable comment to say. He was just so good at that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's great that you guys are still so close from, you know, playing the game. It was 20 years that you guys played, right? You guys filmed it in the fall of 2000, and now here we are, 2020.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. I know. It's crazy.
I know. Tina, tell me about, I'm looking at your Instagram and I see that you are holding up a sign that says 02/02/2020, which was the date of the Super Bowl and Groundhog's Day. And you said, I waited 900 years for this date, this and the Super Bowl. What a fun, happy day. Why did 02/02/2020 have so much significance for you?
Well, because it's a whatchamadoodle, where the numbers are the same forward as they are the backwards.
Yes, okay.
And that happened 900 years ago. A palindrome, yes. And that only happened that happened 900 years ago.
Yes.
So we're living history. I just think that's so cool. I'm a nerd for these little things that, you know, I love surprises.
Mm-hmm.
Just unexpected things or anything abnormal to your day. Mm-hmm. I just think they're so fun. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, like whenever we had the solar eclipse, I'm like making a huge deal out of it because it's just, you know, mm-hmm. something different. So something that different. Was cool that we got to be alive during 02/02/2020.
Yeah.
Okay. But if you want to look at my Instagram, look at my Halloween Instagram. Okay. Not this year, but last year.
That's a good one. I saw the pumpkins. Am I looking at the pumpkin or am I going to play a video?
Yeah. The pumpkin video.
Okay. So I see two of them. Let me see. I'll play it on the podcast here. Let's try this.
Okay.
Oh. You want to hear what hillbillies listen to on Halloween? Okay. Get ready.
Hey, do you see the mule over there?
That over yonder?
Yeah, boy, it's
a big name. Ow. Tina is like dancing. It's like a jig. And doing like a whole dance. Tina, that's pretty wild. What are you, this is a she-billy Halloween?
Yes, and I was just by myself having fun by myself on Halloween. That's what I do.
I
have a fun life, Rob.
Yeah, that is pretty wild. Tina, do you have a pick for a winner for the season? Do you have anybody that you feel like you would think has the best shot?
Yule!
Yeah, you're all in on Yule.
Yes.
Okay. You're very excited about Yule. I would not have guessed that.
Yep. Even though I would, you know, I want Ethan to do well, but he's, I don't know. I'm going with Yule.
Yeah. Tina, that I haven't talked to you since our friend Rudy passed away. That was the third wheel on our trip to Argentina of the people that were in the game. Do you have a favorite Rudy memory?
I wish I could remember the word, but we were in the van mm-hmm. and we were going somewhere. We were talking about something and there was some word and he goes, "What's that?" You know, and it wasn't even like it wasn't a hard word. Mm-hmm. It was a common word, mm-hmm. you know, and we had to explain to him what that word was, but I can't remember what it was, but I remember getting kind of tickled.
Yeah.
And I remember he had like a really, really bad case of gout.
Yes. And he's on his feet. Yeah.
Yeah, but he was just like, he didn't really complain. He's like, you know, we're going on this hike. And he's like, okay. Mm-hmm. And he's just such a trooper. And mm-hmm. just, you know, I don't know, to be his age, because wasn't he 76?
Yeah, I think so. He was 76 when we were out there. Yeah.
So he said, he is my bar. Mm-hmm. Whenever I think about being 60, of course, I don't feel 60. I feel like I'm 30. Mm-hmm. So I don't even, 60 is such just a number for me. But I think about Rudy and I'm like, if he can go out at 76, by golly, I can do it too. Mm-hmm. So He's my Mark. And, you know, knowing how he felt about the military and how passionate, you know, I love people who are passionate about things. You have found your passion here, mm-hmm. you know, with reality television and this podcast. And it really is a love that you have. And he had that for the military. And I just really enjoy being around people who find that in life. You know, not all of us have something that we are that passionate about. So I enjoy being around people who have a love for something. So that's what I remember about Rudy.
Yeah. And he would just have me rolling on the floor laughing. And it would be the same story. And I know that I would just be so tickled by anything that he had to say that he just would just crack me up so much to the point where I'm sure it was super annoying that I would just this could be just like doubled over laughing at the same thing and just be like, you know, really encouraging him to retell these stories over and over again.
Okay. But what's one of your stories you have?
I just remember I could tell you like word for word that he used to talk like about what happened at Saboga, where he would say, you know, and then there was Eason. And I could see them girls that he's been running around with, and then Jenna Lewis with her big mouth, and Rupert, that guy, he's an actor. And it was just like, he had the whole like monologue that he would go over and over and over and talk about it, and it just would make me laugh so much every single time. Just, you can get him going about anything, and I just like I really just treasure that of, you know, because you know, Rudy was on from the television character was, you know, such an icon that transcended the show. And then, you know, to get to spend that time with him also was, you know, as miserable as I was like, well, this is pretty crazy that we're hanging out with Rudy from Survivor also.
Yeah.
And yeah, of course, yourself too. It was, you know, it was never lost on me that being just like this big Survivor nerd of, you know, here I am, you know, this, you know, I'm, you know, this kid that's from Long Island, and I'm with, you know, Survivor royalty, that I'm you know, I'm getting on a plane with Richard Hatch, Rudy, and Tina, and we're, you know, like this is, I mean, I guess that this is like the best of a bad situation that, I mean, look who I'm hanging out with.
Little did you know that you would be absolutely tortured into going on all these excursions
Yeah, well, you're such an adventurer that, you know, it seemed like, and maybe you just had a brave face of that, you know, all these things were up your alley. I remember, you know, we hiked up to that, I don't know what you would call it, but there was like a hut that was like up we had to hike up there. And then Tina went on like another adventure, like past the hut. Me and Rudy were like, let's go home. Let's go back to the cabin. And you went off. What were you doing? You were doing like were you skiing?
No, it was 3 days of going from hut to hut through the Andes. Mm-hmm. And at one point, the guide had to put a rope around my waist because we were going across this ice field and up this mountain. And yeah, I wasn't putting on a brave face. I truly love all these crazy experiences and the horseback riding.
Yes. You know, you want to tell the story about when I fell off the horse again, Tina?
I will. You want me to tell it?
Yeah, tell it. I know how much you enjoy it.
Okay. So our friend Rob was not having a lot of fun. He wasn't happy about being voted out. He was not happy that the game did not go like he wanted to. And he certainly was not happy about all these outdoor adventures that CBS was allowing us to have. So at one point, we get to go on this horseback riding adventure. And I think it was going to be for like 2 or 3 days.
Yeah.
And so I don't think you'd ever ridden a horse.
No.
Didn't want to.
Maybe
ever,
like a pony.
Did not ever. And didn't ever want to ride a horse.
No.
It wasn't like a lifelong dream that you had ever had. And we get to this corral and they have these horses and they're having to strap all the stuff that we're going to need for the next 3 days onto these horses.
Yeah, like so frying pans. Like, yeah.
Yeah. And sleeping bags and this and that. And you're on your horse and I'll never forget the look on your face. And it is just of, I can't believe I'm having to do this. I really just want to be back at the bridge watching television or talking about Survivor with anybody who'll listen. But I'm stuck on this horse.
Drink.
So about that time, and I think you keep trying to work your way out of this. I mean, I don't think that you ever gave your consent to actually be on this trip. That if there was any way at all that you could turn back, you would have. But I don't think that they would let you.
No.
So right off the bat, we start off, we've got everything loaded and we're going. And the horse, I think in front of you, that had the pots and pans, they slipped underneath the belly of the horse, which started bucking, which started your horse, and it bucked you off the horse.
I don't know. I do remember the time I fell off the horse when the horse was like a low branch and the horse is like, oh, I can clear this. And then did not have any concern for its rider.
And I honestly thought there's no way you're going to talk Rob into getting back up on that horse.
Well, where was I going to go? What was I going to do?
I don't know, but I thought just maybe you would stand your ground.
I should have walked. That would have been a good.
It
was very dangerous too, Tina. I don't know. Were you scared? Because it was like we were on these horses and the horses were like, we were on like, you know, the horses were like scaling like up like a 45 degree incline. I'm like, if this horse, makes like one wrong step here, what's going to happen to me? I was terrified.
Oh, I know. And I do feel sorry for you because there's nothing more miserable than being afraid. Mm-hmm. And, I think that they could have broken you in a little bit easier.
You know what really gets me upset when I think about it, Tina, is that Jerry and Colby and Eason, they went to Mexico. They went to like some resort. And I think I was like, when I found that out, I was like, what? We could have gone to Mexico and been, by the pool. We were going on up to the, it was so cold also. We had all like Survivor clothes. And then they had to buy us like all like winter clothes and all these layers. It was not helping my spirits.
No, but I would have rather been where we were in Patagonia and having these excursions and adventures. I'm like, you had to go to Mexico? You had to, be by the pool. Mm-hmm. I'm like, poor things. We had it so much better.
Yeah. And then we were with Richard Hatch and then Richard Hatch didn't want to stay at the cabin. And then we never saw him again. Then he went off and had his own adventure.
But we got to go have those massages. Remember that?
I do recall. We don't need to get into my uncomfortableness of that episode either, Tina.
Oh no!
Yeah,
I loved it.
This has been so much fun getting the cat. I'm so happy that you had some time to talk with us about all this.
Yes. Well, thank you for having me, Rob.
Yes, I really appreciate it. I was so happy when you said yes. And this was really great to get your take on everything that's going on here. And again, I just want to speak for so many of the listeners that, you know, we didn't get to see you play in this season. But well, what a thrill it would be if we ever got to see you come back out to Survivor.
Thank you so much. And I'll keep my fingers crossed. That's all I can do.
Yeah. You know, this was really, really fun. Tina, do you want people to follow you on Instagram so they can see what's going on with your jack-o'-lanterns?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay.
I don't know what it is, so maybe you can tell
okay,
them.
I believe it's at TWesson13. Does that sound right?
Sounds good.
Okay.
I'll
check that. Yes. At TWesson13 on Instagram. And yeah, Tina posts a bunch of stuff that you were rooting for the Titans in the playoffs, Tina.
Yeah, of course.
Yes.
Tennessee Titans.
Yes. Yes. Okay.
Yeah. So I want to apologize to all the listeners too, because I do Instagram because I really enjoy posting photos, but you know, I feel bad. Sandra is, I want to say this about her. You know, I'm so impressed with her, and I think that she is such a good survivor advocate and spokesperson.
Yes.
Because she gives the fans so much time.
Yes.
And attention, and is so available.
Mm-hmm.
To the fans. And I'm very appreciative of Sandra for that aspect. And, you know, I just want to apologize to anybody who might want to hear from me, because I just don't do social media. I don't have television. I'm not in the house. I don't know how to tweet. And
yeah,
I didn't even know my Skype name for you to call me.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, you know, so it's not that I'm aloof or don't care what fans think. It's just, you know, I'm not on social media.
Yeah.
So I want to apologize but say thank you also to anybody who really does like me or care about, you know, me or whatever. So I want to say thank you. And I'm just sorry I'm not more available.
Okay. Well, Tina, I think everybody understands that you've got a lot going on. So that's why it's so special when we get the chance to talk with you. So thank you again for spending some time with us today, and hope we can hear more from you in the future.
Okay, Rob, and thank you, and congratulations again on your big anniversary.
Yeah, Tina, thank you so much. It means a lot to me, and take care, okay?
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay. All right, everybody, there you have it. Tina Weston. How great was Tina today? Very fun to catch up with Tina here on the Survivor 40 premiere podcast. We're going to have some great guests all season long here on the podcast. I think this might be, I don't want to call my shot. I think this might be the best season of guests that we have on the podcast this season. It's going to be a good one. We've got, coming up this weekend, Elaine Stott on the Feedback Show. Make sure you get your feedback questions in for Elaine. Also, the return of the Wiggle Room. The Wand Off is back. Get your Wand Off songs in. You can send them in. WiggleRoom@robhasawebsite.com to send in your songs for the Wand Off. Get those feedback questions in. robhasawebsite.com/voicemail or 323-282-RHAP. It's only been a couple of months. You remember how to do it. Get those questions in for Elaine. Survivor@robhasawebsite.com. I am going to have a lot more for you coming up this weekend as well. With This Week in Survivor's return, we will be talking with Jessica Leese on This Week in Survivor as well. So a ton of Survivor podcasts still coming your way. Couple of things you could do here at the start of the new Survivor season. One, great time to become a patron of Rob is a Podcast. Now, here we are in year 10. Great time to jump in, be a part of the Rob Has a Podcast community. robhasawebsite.com/patron. We're kicking off our Survivor pregame show this Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Eastern. That's a patron-only show, only for Survivor 40. robhasawebsite.com/patron if you want to be a part of that. And if that's not your thing, or if you're feeling like you really want to help out in the new season, head on over to robhasawebsite.com/iTunes. That's our page in Apple Podcasts. And you can leave us a feedback and star rating, and you can help Rob Has a Podcast hit number one in the TV and film rankings on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, they call it now, to start off the new season. Wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't that be something if we could start year number 10, season 40 of Survivor, as the number one podcast in TV and film? RobHasAWebsite.com/iTunes for that. Looking at the charts right now, some of this just takes a couple of days to reflect what's going on with the big Survivor premiere. Hope we get a bump from that. RobHasAWebsite.com/iTunes. Thank you for putting up with me and my voice here today. I really appreciate it. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre for turning this one around. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.